Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
I don't know that it's so much animosity towards one another than it is one's individual insecurities and fears, you know, and things that people are dealing with within themselves, and it's a reactive situation towards, you know, that other person. I just feel like personally, in order for us to have positive relationships, we have to be whole. And a lot of times we deal with each other based on the last relationship, like even with men or women, you know, women that are angry at black men, it's because you can't be angry at every black man you meet because of the old relationship that you had, because of how Pookie and them treated you, or Leroy treated you, or Tyrone treated you. And even with black men, you can't be angry at every sister you meet because you had an experience with Brenda or Barbara or whoever that chick was. You know, I feel that when we meet with people, we got to start, you know, on ground zero, and we just got to build from there, and we got to get healed, we got to get whole, so that we don't have this reactive, you know, experience with people based on that old stuff that's in our soul that we have not allowed God to restore.
Mode One, communication is essential to great fucking.
I like that. I like that.
I can't say I say fucking all that often.
You sound so cute, man. Say it again.
Mode One is essential to great fucking.
Drama. This is drama.
Yes, sir. This is a little tidbit in the book. So this is some free game for everybody who's never seen these books. These books are raw. That's why I went the self-publishing route, because I was like, man, I don't want this stuff to be edited or censored at all. But yeah, in the second to last chapter, actually in each of my books, I actually describe how to organize your prospects. And the best way to do that and the easiest way to do that is through PowerPoint, because, you know, you may not remember names, you may not remember where you met them from, but in the PowerPoint slide, it allows you to import photos. On the other side of the slide, you can, you know, list off certain facts, certain bullet points. And even below in the notes section, you can include full conversation streams. And that's how I used to organize my woman. When you meet that many people, it would behoove one to actually be organized about it and not be a sloppy player. You want to be organized with yours.
Did you ever fuck her in 2 years? He goes, no. I go, well, I'll tell you, there's two things here. One, you're a mental case. Number two, she's a real bitch. Because she didn't think in 2 years, once he wants to fuck me, I don't believe she's that stupid. So she was using you for 2 years. She's not. She's a smart bitch. But she's a bitch.
The thing is, a square wasn't a bad thing. And that book is great because that book breaks down the real meanings of all these words. See, a lot of these words and terms, they've been misconstrued over the years to fit what these guys are doing in the game. Like, a lot of dudes will call women tricks now. She's a trick-ass female. But the trick is something that refers to a guy who spends money. A lot of guys call themselves players because they go to the strip joint. That's not what a player does. This book tells you exactly what a player is, what a pimp, what a mac. It breaks all that down. And I like that because it's the essence of what the game is. It tells you the unwritten rules of the game that a lot of people don't know about.
I totally, totally help women do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, to be able to have, you know, oh, sorry, to get, you know, to fuck.
Say it again.
to fuck for the right reason, whatever they are for that person. Whatever.
Say it again.
That they would get fucked for the right reasons. Whatever.
Say it again.
Yes, Alan. That they would get fucked for the right reasons for them. So, and that might include, like, you know, fucking someone because you love them.
Say it again.
Fucking someone because you love them. Because a lot of these women, you know, a lot of people who mix up the love and sex thing too much during their lives. Who mix up the love and fucking thing throughout their lives. A lot of them wind up in situations where they can't, once they're in love, they don't want to fuck the person they're in love with because they've mixed it up too much and they kind of can't, now they can't, you know, with real love, they can't be that vulnerable with that person.
Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame. Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network for 4 years, baby. 4 years. Oh, my goodness. Tonight is Thursday, June 2nd, 2011, and yes, this episode is simply to celebrate the fact that I have been on Blog Talk Radio for 4 years. My show actually started the very first day of my show on Blog Talk Radio. Well, let me explain it. Most of you, my most loyal listeners, know my history. I actually came
first came to Blog Talk Radio on someone else's show. A guy who I used to be friends with. Honestly, we've had a falling out. We no longer speak, but he had a show called Men on Dating, and I was kind of his permanent guest host. And I came to Blog Talk Radio in about mid to late April of 2007. Mid to late April of 2007 was when I first came to Blog Talk Radio on that show, and then he said something on air that I didn't agree with. It was a criticism against black women that I didn't agree with, and so we fell out, and that's what motivated me to start my own show. The first somebody in my chat room said they remember that. You remember that? Wow, you got good memory. Yeah, when I first came to Blog Talk Radio, I was on a show called Men on Dating for about, I want to say about 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah, from like mid-April to mid to late May. I was on another guy's show. He had a dating and relationship show. And again, he said something on air that was disparaging against black women, and I didn't agree with it. And I basically hung up on him on air. I told him to either apologize or I was going to hang up. And he refused to apologize, so I hung up. So then that's what motivated me to start my own show. The very first episode of my own show was on Tuesday, May 29th of 2007. It was the Tuesday after Memorial Day of 2007. It was called initially, and again, most of you know the original title of the show, is originally called Balls Out Talk with Mode 1. That was the original name of my show, Balls Out Talk with Mode 1. And I went by that title for about 4 weeks. 4 weeks I went by that title. And I had some provocative episodes. Matter of fact, when I first got on Blog Talk, when I first started my show, I actually used to do two shows a week. I did a half-hour show on Tuesday afternoons from 1:30 to 2 p.m. Chicago time, where I would basically just talk about issues that were directly, indirectly related to my book, Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. That's the name of my book, in case you're unfamiliar. The name of my paperback is Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. That's been published as an ebook since early 2002. I published it as a paperback in February of 2006. And it was actually me writing that book, promoting that book, that led me to get into the whole world of podcasting and talk radio. Actually, I'd had radio experience before. I used to do, when I was in college at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, I did some episodes of radio my freshman year. Me and a friend of mine used to have this Friday night jazz show on the campus radio station. And then another thing I did related to radio was I used to do college IU football games. I actually did. My junior year at Indiana University, I used to do color analysis for Indiana University football on the IU college radio station. So that was my background, brief background. I emphasize brief background in radio. And then I heard about this whole podcasting. In case you don't know what podcasting is, simply either pre-recorded radio, or in Blog Talk Radio's case, once the live episode has concluded, people can download an archived copy of that previously live show as an MP3 file for their iPod or whatever MP3 player they have. And that's when the term podcasting came about. Podcasting first started coming into play in the early part of this century, and it's just blown up. And Blog Talk Radio has one of the most interesting formats. A lot of people either do live radio or they do podcasting. There's very few mediums that have both. More and more online venues and radio stations are starting to have that kind of combo package. But Blog Talk Radio was one of the first to have both the live portion and, following the live portion, the archive podcast portion. But yeah, the first edition of my show, starting with May 29th of 2007, was called Balls Out Talk with Mo One. And then again, I did two shows a week, one a half-hour show, and then on Thursdays, I would do a show from 11 p.m. to midnight, Chicago time, and I would get more risque, more provocative on my Thursday show. Like, if you've heard my other podcast program I do called The Erotic Conversationalist, my Thursday night show was similar to The Erotic Conversationalist. My Tuesday show was pretty tame. My Thursday show was pretty risque. And how I ended up changing the name was, back in the day, I don't know how many old heads I have listening to this episode tonight, but if you're what I would call a Blog Talk Radio veteran, Blog Talk Radio started, I want to say, in summer or fall of 2006. And again, I came in spring 2007. And in 2007, this was before they even had chat rooms. Initially, Blog Talk Radio didn't have chat rooms associated with the show. But back then in 2007, it was a big status thing to be on the front page. Every host wanted to be on the, if you got your show promoted on the front page, that was a real big deal. Now, today is still, I would say, a semi-big deal, but there's quite a few shows, quite frankly, today that get promoted pretty frequently on the main page of Blog Talk Radio. But definitely back in 2007, yeah, that was considered a high achievement to have an episode of your show promote it on the main page. So I asked one of the upper brass at the time, I said, how can I get my episodes promoted on the front page? And the woman, I forget her name right now, she, me and her were real cool at the time, and she said, Alan, you gotta change your title, it's just too provocative. She said, we will not be willing to promote a show called Balls Out Talk. And she says, secondly, we would highly prefer that you have guests from time to time. We like to promote shows that have guests as opposed to the host just talking to his audience every single episode. So that's what prompted the change from Balls Out Talk to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And my very first guest under that title, that episode, I remember the date, it was Thursday, June 28th of 2007. It was the last Thursday in June of 2007. My first guest was a gentleman who, that you hear the term nowadays called viral, meaning that a video is being passed around at record speed through the internet and through online sites. So if somebody posts a video to YouTube and say within a matter of 2, 3, 4 weeks, it already has 10,000 views, 50,000 views, 100,000 views, that's considered a viral video. And the gentleman who I had as my first guest, he had created this short film called Diary of a Tired Black Man. And it was being spread like rapid fire among African Americans all throughout the country. And he ended up turning the short into a full-length feature film. And he was my first guest. He was actually Tim Alexander. I'm sorry, I didn't say his name. Tim Alexander, he's a screenwriter, director, and filmmaker who lives in Los Angeles. He was my very first guest on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And then, believe it or not, and again, my old head listeners will know this, I actually had probably my longest hiatus ever. Starting with about mid-August of 2007, I didn't do any more shows. I got mad. My brother knows this, and some of my close friends know this. What happened was, I started just going after big-name people, big name celebrities. Like, I tried to get Tony Dungy, who used to coach the Indianapolis Colts. I tried to get him on the show. I tried to get tennis player James Blake on the show. I tried to get Blair Underwood on the show, and probably about three or four other, you know, media types, celebrity types. And quite frankly, all of them blew me off. Then there was a couple that seemed like they were genuinely interested, but they had schedule conflicts. but the rest pretty much blew me off. And then the second thing that happened, I had two guests flake on me 2 weeks in a row. One woman, like 5 minutes before I was about to do the show, she called me and said, or texted me and said she couldn't make it and just left me hanging. So basically you could say, and I know my chat room's going to tease me, you know, what's the old saying, he takes his ball and goes home. I got so ticked off on the combination of being rejected by celebrities and these two guests flaking on me. I said, forget it. I said, this Blog Talk Radio thing is not for me. So I stopped doing shows, starting with about mid-August of 2007. And then what happened, I left Blog Talk Radio, didn't come back for about 2 or 3 months. And then I visited back around late October, early November. And that's when I saw they had added the chat room feature and a couple other features. And I was listening to this guy named Dr. Blogstein, who's actually still on Blog Talk Radio. He still has one of the top-rated shows on Blog Talk Radio under the category of comedy, usually. Dr. Blogstein, and there was another young lady named Dangerous Lee. She used to have a show every Friday, and I don't know if you remember, if you're a Blog Talk Radio enthusiast, you would remember her. She did a show for about 3 years, 2.5, 3 years. And I was listening to Dr. Blogstein's show, and I came in the chat room, and he asked me, he said, Alan, I haven't seen you on air. What's going on? I said, oh, man, I quit this stuff. I said, people flaking on me, people rejecting. He said, no. He said, you had a good show. He said, I listened to about 2 or 3 of your episodes. He said, you had a good show. You sounded very professional. And Dangerous Lee backed him up. She said, yes, Alan, I heard your show, too. You sounded very professional. If I were you, I would continue to do your show. And so I want to give them shout-outs, Dangerous Lee and Dr. Blogstein, because they actually did. I give them credit. They boosted my Blog Talk Radio self-esteem because they told me that I sounded professional. I said, what the heck? And Dr. Blogstein suggested that I get a co-host in case people flake on me. So if you remember, I don't know if you remember, but the first month and a half to 2 months of 2008, I actually had a co-host by the name of Tennille Williams. Tennille Williams. She's actually, to this day, one of my Facebook friends. She's an actress in Los Angeles, and she was my first, or my only, when I'm talking about first, she was my only she co-hosted about 5, 6, 7 shows. Honestly, it just didn't work out. I'm going to be frank. The co-host, number one, I love to talk too much. You know, it's challenging even when I have a guest co-host on my show, which I've had a few times. Because I just like to talk too much, and I don't like to share the mic with another person. So, among other reasons, that was half the reason why that just didn't work out. And so I began to do shows regularly again, starting with early to mid-January. And the biggest change I made, and this is probably my most important change, is that, again, when I first started doing my show in 2007, I was kind of almost a general interest show. I just was trying to do, you know, again, I was trying to invite anybody who was willing to come on my show. But then when I carefully and closely examined the Blog Talk Radio format, what I saw was that Blog Talk Radio is, you can nickname it niche radio. That's what distinguishes Blog Talk Radio from, say, broadcast radio or maybe even satellite radio, is that Blog Talk Radio is niche radio. It's for a very specific interest. So if your interest is Scrabble, somebody probably has a show on Blog Talk Radio just for Scrabble. If your interest is automobile-related issues, there are shows on Blog Talk Radio just for automobile issues. Matter of fact, one of the most popular shows on Blog Talk Radio is a show hosted by a woman who goes by the name The Fly Lady, and she's kind of the Martha Stewart of Blog Talk Radio. And all she does is talk about house cleaning. She doesn't talk about anything else. She just talks about stuff related to house cleaning. She's always ranked in the top 10, top 15 shows on the entire network, and that's her niche. So there are a few people who have tried to have general interest shows on Blog Talk Radio. I'm sure there's at least a handful of shows like that. But I've found that the number one time you're going to be the most successful and get you know, loyal listeners on this particular network is when you have a particular niche. And I realized my niche was dating and relationships, quite naturally, because of my book. So instead of just trying to invite, you know, a variety of guests from different industries, different backgrounds, I said, I am only going to invite guests who are have a dating and relationships background, either a dating relationships book author, dating relationships coach, dating relationships experts, seduction experts, sex therapists, marriage therapists, anything to do with enhancing people's love lives, sex lives, and social lives. And I've even most of the time tried to be even more specific by concentrating on singles. Now, I've done quite a few shows that were up to interest to, you know, married couples and people in long-term relationships. But I would say at minimum, at least two-thirds of my shows tend to concentrate on challenges and issues faced by dating singles. And so that was my format starting with January of 2008. And since then, I've had, if I say so myself, I've had a lot of great guests. Matter of fact, I'm gonna do a little bragging here. I'm gonna do a little bragging here, a little self-congratulating here. But I would argue that there's no show on Blog Talk Radio that's related to dating and relationships that has had more high-quality guests than Upfront and Straightforward. I've had some of the most well-known names and most well-respected names in the field of dating relationships, I would say, than arguably any other show on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, and some people have asked me, speaking of, you know, accomplishments and achievements, some people said, you know, Alan, okay, you've been on the air for 4 years, yeah. You know, Blog Talk Radio didn't really hire you, and they don't really fire you, so what's the big deal with being on Blog Talk Radio 4 years? I mean, can't anybody just get on Blog Talk Radio? This is true. Anybody who has a desire to be a talk radio host can sign up for Blog Talk Radio, just like you can sign up for Facebook, and start a show. So technically, you can say it's not really an achievement to say you've been on Blog Talk Radio for 4 years. Here's where it's kind of unique and special, and this not only applies to me, but any host, such as I mentioned, Dr. Blogstein. Where the achievement part comes from is to be on this network for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and have a large listening audience. A large listening audience. The number one, how can you tell? Well, number one, each host can see their own listenership numbers. So that's number one. But the number one way you can tell if your show is doing well, say, compared to other shows, is there's what's called the Blog Talk Radio Top 500 Rankings. Those are published every day. And those rankings give you the top 500 most listened to episodes for the last seven days or so. So, because I don't know if you know, but on Blog Talk Radio, there are approximately, I want to say, last estimate I heard, there's about 25,000 shows on Blog Talk Radio. Imagine that. 25,000 shows on Blog Talk Radio. So that means if there's, let's say that is the number, there's 25,000 shows. That means if you're in the top 2,500, you're in the top 10%. And that means if you're in the Blog Talk Radio top 500, that means you're in the top 2% of all the shows on the network. And Upfront and Straightforward has consistently ranked in the Blog Talk Radio top 500. I've never been number one on the entire network. I think my highest ranking in the Blog Talk Radio top 500 ever was number 31 and number 32. I think that was the second episode or second interview I had with David X. It got up to as high as number 31 or number 32. Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Thank you. I see you in the chat room. Don, she's a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. I always mess up her last name, so don't get mad at me, Don. Don, Nico Leon, Don Nico Leon. She's in my chat room. But, yeah, my shows, almost all my episodes, I want to say 95% of my episodes have been ranked in the Blog Talk Radio Top 500. I want to say 4 out of every 5 shows I've done have been ranked in the top 15 in its respective category, which is usually, for me, dating relationships or romance. And I would say about probably 60% of my episodes have been number one in their category. Have been number one in their category over the last 3.5 years. So, again, yeah, that's kind of my bragging point. You know, some people, again, can say, oh, you know, being on Blog Talk Radio for 4 years. No, when you have a top-ranked show on Blog Talk Radio for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and beyond, then it's worth celebrating. And I'm just humbled by some of the guests that I've had on my show. You know, I've had some great guests. I could go down the list. I've had Evan Mark Katz. He's a dating and relationship expert on my show. I had Tacoma Newsom, her name is Tacoma Newsom Perry. She's a news anchor in Atlanta. Ruta Fox, entrepreneur. Felice Weaver, entrepreneur in Los Angeles. Dr. Lee Kane, Akua Alset, Elliot Katz. There's another couple I had in spring 2008. You remember this couple, and I'm going to introduce them actually in about probably 5 or 10 minutes, but I feel like they kind of boosted the popularity of my show quite a bit. I had a young lady named Sherry Langford. She runs a site called Single Edition. FJ Shark, Doc Love. Who else have I? It's so many. I think probably the most marquee name as far as a Hollywood celebrity I've had is probably Hill Harper. Hill Harper, if you're not familiar with him, he's an actor on CSI New York, and he's also a New York Times bestselling author. I've had him on the show twice. I had Tasha Smith, who you heard a clip at the beginning of the show. She's been in a lot of the Tyler Perry movies. She was on my show last fall. Somebody in the chat room mentioned Ryle Sims. Ryle Sims has been on my show. They call him my twin brother. He's a real good guy. And there's just so many names. I don't really want to go down every single name. But like I said, if I had to do any type of bragging on my show, I would say I've had just a lot of names, well-known names and or well-respected names from the field of dating and relationships on my show. And also, somebody mentioned the adult film industry. I've had at least probably 3, 4, 5 people on my show from the adult film industry. Now, what's been interesting is that a lot of my shows have been very entertaining. A lot of my shows have been informative. They've been enlightening. But I've had my share of controversial shows. So, and I think, honestly, that's what some listeners tune in for. Some listeners, they like the drama. You know, they like that drama effect. So, you know, I haven't always gotten along with all my guests. And that's the thing, you know, when you are either, I'm sure this applies to TV talk show host, and it definitely applies to talk radio host, particularly if you don't screen them before the interview. Now, some hosts, they have like a in-person conversation or phone conversation for a half hour or so before the interview to guests. With me, the vast majority of my guests, the first time I'm talking to them is when you hear them on air. I didn't have like a pre-screening conversation for them. I want to say at least 65 to 75% of the guests that have been on Upfront and Straightforward, I'd never talked to prior to them being interviewed on my show. Now, there's a few of them I had talked to or met prior to me interviewing, like Hill Harper. I'd met him in Chicago prior to me interviewing him, and there's been a few other guests. But I want to say, yeah, at least 2/3 to 3/4 of my guests, I'd never talked to them before. And there's some people that I just have not clicked with. I want to say, I don't know how many guests I've had over the last 3.5 years. It's been a lot. But if I had to estimate, there's probably been about 5, 6, 7, maybe as many as 10 guests I've had that We just did not click. Some male, some female, some black, some white, some young, some old. Because I'm the type of person, and this relates to the title of the show, Upfront and Straightforward. When I interview people on this show, if nothing else, I want people to be real. I don't want formal interviews. I don't want people to say cliche stuff or basic conventional type stuff. You can get that anywhere. You don't need to come to Blog Talk Radio to listen to people be basic and conventional. That's not just true of my show. I would say that's true of all shows. You know, who wants to tune into Blog Talk Radio to listen to people be basic and conventional? You know, I used this example before, and I'm going to use it again. Playboy magazine. Now, that's an ongoing joke that people say, yes, I read Playboy for the articles, and some people laugh at that. Well, the truth of the matter is, my older brother and I, we did used to primarily read Playboy for the articles. I mean, of course, we like the eye candy of the Playboy centerfolds. But the thing I loved about Playboy interviews is that when people were interviewed in Playboy, they would get raw. They wouldn't say that basic conventional stuff like, yes, I worked on a movie and everybody was great and the director was great and the producer was great. People would get in Playboy and be like, man, I worked with that one director. He won shit. He could kiss my ass and suck my dick. Fuck him. I'll never work with him again. And you'd be reading it like, damn. That's the type of reaction I wanted on my show. When I want a guest on my show, I wanted them to, I always tell guests, I want us to sound like we're having a private one-on-one conversation that other people just happen to be listening in on. I didn't want it to sound like a formal interview. And that's a lot what plays into my title, Upfront and Straightforward. That's one thing that irritates me with guests is when they come on my show and they try to be all basic and formal and, you know, again, say cliche stuff. I'm going to try to provoke them. And anyway, I was talking about how there's some guests I just didn't click. And it was usually because they were being full of shit. Anytime, my listeners know, my most loyal listeners know this. If there's a guest on my show and they say something that I think is invalid, disingenuous, basically talking out of both sides of their mouth, something that I don't think they can substantiate, I'm going to call them out. Like if you remember, I'm going to call out a couple names. If you remember just a few weeks ago, I interviewed a woman named Carrie Cohen Hoffman. And she wrote a book entitled A Memoir of My Promiscuity. And when I simply asked her, what is your definition of being promiscuous, she couldn't even give me a straight answer. I called her out. I basically told her on air that she was full of shit. Because I was like, how can you write a book on promiscuity and you don't even have your own definition of what it means to be promiscuous? That didn't make sense to me. And I think that's what it's that type of thing that has endeared a lot of my listeners to me, is because they know that 99% of the time I keep it real. I'm not going to let, you know, my guests get away with just saying anything. If they say something stupid or, again, that I think is full of shit, I'm going to call you up. And, like, I remember I had a guy on my show a couple years. He claimed he was this top pickup artist. But when he started talking about his methodology and how he operated with women, I straight up told him on air. I said, dude, you full of shit. I said, you. Because people had told me this guy was similar to me. He was upfront and straightforward and let his intentions be known ahead of time. But when he got to talking, he acknowledged that he didn't. And I told him on air. I said, dude, I am not in line with your philosophies. Because I think if other guys follow you, they setting themselves up to be accused of date rape. So anyway, I'm not here to, you know, call out guests and disparage anybody, but I'm just saying that the essence of my show, and again, this not only applies to my show, I think this applies to a lot of shows on Blog Talk Radio, is that we try to keep it real here. I think that's why a lot of people come to Blog Talk Radio. They want to hear real talk. They don't want to hear contrived conversations. They don't want to hear conversations that are too formal. They want to hear real talk. And that's what I try to provide. I may miss the mark on a few episodes here and there, but I'd say at least 18 or 19 out of every 20 episodes I do, I keep it real. And I think that's why my list, that's why I've had people who've been listening to my show for 3.5 years, 3 years, 2.5 years, 2 years, you know. And speaking of listeners, I got some of those loyal listeners in my chat room right now, like Adrian, a.k.a. Diva, 362636. She's been listening to my show pretty much ever since I got on the air. I want to say, is this? I see a 614 in my phone queue. I'm not sure if this is Adrian. Who's 614?
It's Adrian.
It's Adrian. I'm just talking about Adrian. And Adrian, I think everybody already knows, she's the biggest sports fan of any female that I've known in the history of my life. Like, she probably knows all the stats just from the first half of Game 2 of the NBA Finals, where the Miami Heat are leading the Dallas Mavericks 57-54.
Right, right.
But you've been listening to my show, what, since about spring 2008?
Yes.
And Adrian and I, we go way back. We know each other over 10 years. And so, Adrian, I'm going to ask you, give me just a few thoughts about what you think, what you like about listening to my show, Upfront and Straightforward, and also maybe a couple of thoughts about episodes that stand out in your mind, you know, a particular guest, good, bad, and in between, that really, you know, are in your memory.
I enjoy listening to your show because, one, it's very entertaining. I feel like I have made some connections and some friends through the chat room. You know, it's always when you're not on the air, when you take that summer hiatus or that holiday break hiatus, it's like, dang, what am I going to do on Thursday night now? Because you know me, I got the laptop and I'm either watching a football game or a basketball game. And I just kind of sit there and feel like, damn, I don't have nothing to do on Thursday night. So it provides me with a huge source of entertainment. It's also educational. There have been some topics you've had over the years that I found very educational and enlightened me on a few subjects from a sexuality standpoint. Some of my more memorable shows, you know I like controversy.
Understatement.
You know I like controversy. So, of course, you know, probably my most recent favorite of this year was with Miss Nelson. And probably not even so much what happened on the show, but it was the follow-up that happened on Facebook. Because that just seemed to go on and on and on, and it just never seemed to stop.
Let me pause you for 1 second. Listeners, in case you might be saying, okay, who was that? First of all, I invite anybody to go. You can go on my page on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to all my archive podcasts. They go back as far as, I think, 2007, I want to say. But, yeah, I had a young lady. She's a she used to be a White House correspondent for Jet Magazine. Now she's an up-and-coming book author by the name of Miss Sophia A. Nelson. And I want to preface my comments by saying I don't have anything against her personally. We just have differences of opinion on some issues. And I was saying that I've had a few episodes that have become contentious. And I want to say that I was definitely, of all the episodes I've had in, say, the last 2 to 3 months, that was probably my most contentious interview. And Adrian got involved. It ended up into this big war of words on Facebook. I never had anything like that happen, quite frankly, with any guests I've ever had, where after the episode was over, it led to drama even beyond the interview. But, yeah, that's what happened. It lasted for about a week, if not longer, of just this war of words between me and her and my listeners and her followers. And so, anyway, but go ahead, Adrian.
So I think that would probably be the most recent, and then probably a close second would be one that was pretty much in that same vein. I can't remember the name of the show, but the two young ladies from California, the one that kept talking about she would have been with the man with the peanut butter and jelly
sandwich. Well, as you mentioned, I'm going to have one of those two women on the show later on tonight, but not the one who made that comment. But listeners, you would have to go back and listen to that episode. That was... I had this two-part series about I normally don't like to do shows that specifically concentrate on black men and black women. I try to keep most of my shows just about men and women in general because I don't want to alienate my non-black listeners. And also, I know that anytime race is involved, you got race and gender involved, you asking for, you know, a fiery show. And so I did one show called Angry Black Women, Why Do Black Women Get Upset Seeing Black Men Date White Women. That was part one. And matter of fact, Adrian on the line here, she got heated in that show. Woo! I wish I had the clip handy. I don't. But, yeah, she... That was probably the first show she listened to that she called in and expressed some heated comments. And then I had a part two to that show, although it didn't, part two didn't deal with interracial relationships, but it still had the same general theme. It was called Chasm. It was called Chasm, yeah. Why Do So Many Black Men and Black Women Not Get Along? And, yeah, this woman, one of the women who had on that show, she start bragging, saying that she supported brothers when they were in their struggling state. And then she went on to say that once they became successful, they would start dating white women. And I asked her, I said, well, what would you do to support these brothers when they were, you know, struggling? She said, oh, shoot, I would feed them. And I'm thinking she's going to say she would feed them lobster or make chicken wings for them. And she said, I make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for them. Yeah, I'm like, shit, the brother can make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for himself.
No wonder you alone, right?
And you think I was bad. Now, I made a couple of little comments, but the chat room, oh, my God. And this is why I love my chat room. I was saying I keep it real on the show. If I'm not keeping it real, by some chance, you can believe my chat room is keeping it real. They don't have a phony bone in their body. And the chat room ate her up, and she made the mistake of being in the chat room. And she started trying to talk with the chat room, but they were lighting her up. Oh, my. That's happened with a few of my guests. If my guests say something that's full of shit, like, Adrian, you remember this? I had one guy. I don't even want to say his name because me and him, I think he's a nice guy. But I got
probably,
on my
that
show
was probably
that wrote a book
third
about
one, my third one.
Father-daughter relationships.
Yep.
And I'm going to take the blame. I should have screened him. Now, audience, you would assume that if somebody wrote a book about father-daughter relationships that they had a daughter. So I'm interviewing him, starting to interview him. I say, so how many daughters you have? He said, oh, no, I don't have any daughters. I have two sons. And I just was quiet for about 25 seconds. And in my mind, of course, I'm like, okay, you just fucked up all your credibility right there. But I was nice. I continued with the interview. But the chat room, oh, my God. They was like, Alan, hang up on this motherfucker now. Adrian, I think.
I say I might have been the ringleader on that one.
He was like, Alan, he ain't got no credibility. He's full of shit. I'm not listening to anything else he got to say. And, yeah, it that type of shit happens. If you're going to be somebody who considers yourself an expert, authority, or just somebody with a strong opinion, you got to have some semblance of credibility. Like, I had another woman, and this woman is nice, too. I'm not going to say her name, but she was running, I think she still runs a site called singleedition.com, and she was all about promoting how great it is to be single and that you don't need to be married to be happy. And then one of the first things she says when I start interviewing her is she just got engaged. And I'm like, what the fuck? And my brother, he texts me right there. He said, okay, she's lost all credibility. So that's an important thing on the guest end. If you're a guest or thinking about being a guest on somebody's show, don't go, you know, if you don't have the credibility for a subject, at least say that. Say, I'm just expressing my opinion. I'm not an expert in this field. I don't really have any major credibility. I'm just a man or woman with a strong opinion. Then I'll give you a pass. But if you kind of fancy yourself as a, you know, some kind of self-help guru or whatever, and you call yourself going on speaking tours, but you're writing a book. That's like me writing a book called How to Have a Successful Marriage and I've Never Been Married. How can I write a book like that? But anyway, so...
Those would probably be my three, because, you know, I like the controversy. Always like the two with Hill Harper. I love Hill Harper. And then I like your open forums, which we haven't had in a while.
Yeah, that's another type of show I've done. Most of my shows I have guests, but probably about, I want to say, 15% of my episodes I've had what I refer to as just open discussion forums, where I take a topic, that I know is going to have strong opinions on both sides of the coin, and I discuss it. And, yeah, I've had a lot of those good episodes. So I want to say, Adrian, I appreciate you. I love you. You're one of my dearest friends. And like I said, she's been listening to my show for the longest. And the thing you don't know about, Adrian, is that when Jim Tressel retired, the first person he called was my friend Adrian. Before he called Ohio State, he said, Adrian, I had to resign. She was like, you know you fucked up. He's like, I know. She was like, you know you fucked up. He's like, I know. And then, you know, he announced it to the world.
Yeah, I broke the news on Facebook before anybody else did.
All right, much love to you, Adrian. And when I get back, I'm going to introduce a couple who I feel helped kind of catapult the popularity of my show to another level. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back in, oh, I don't know, about, let's say, 3 minutes or so. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous. Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Scorcher Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex disease.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Ain't a little wet behind the ears to be running your mouth for. You don't really want me to run in your house.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310, you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives.
Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to my fourth year anniversary episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Again, I had two first episodes. My very first episode of my show was on May 29th of 2007, but that was under the title Balls Out Talk with Mo One, and then I later changed it to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My first episode under that title was on June 28th of 2007, and it's funny, you know, I mentioned the original title was Balls Out Talk. Now, you're talking about a guy talking about who likes to talk about balls and helping men get their balls back. Oh my God. What attracted me to this couple, I forget how, someone who brought them to my attention, or I might have just kind of got a hold of them on the internet, but the title of the book was How to Get Over That Bitch and Grow Some Balls. And I was like, oh snap, I have to get this couple on my show. And they ended up being the most delightful couple. Matter of fact, they changed this now, but back in the day on Blog Talk Radio, they used to have like a 1 to 5 star rating system. People could rate each episode, you know. So if they thought you had a really great episode, they rated 5 stars, average 3 stars, poor episode, 1 star. They did away with it, I want to say 2.5 years ago or so. But when they had the star system, this couple had my highest number of 5-star ratings for any episode I had while they had that star system in place. Pretty much everybody who listened to that episode rated it 5-star. And like I said, I brag on my show being real. The thing I think everybody loved about them was that they were just so real. They were thorough. They were intellectually thorough. And they were very, very real. It wasn't no cliche shit they was talking about. I mean, they just kept it real. So I want to introduce for the second time on my show. You know, I've yet to meet him in person. I wanted to meet him on one of my California trips, but I'm going to make it my mission to meet him because I just fell in love with him just interviewing them. That was back in April, March. It was actually March of 2008. And listeners, give it up for Anthony and Melanie Clark. Anthony and Melanie Clark. What are the amazing Clarks up to?
So much to tell, my friend. So much.
Now, listeners, before I start asking them questions, if you hear my opening intro, most of you are familiar with my intro, and I have different little sound bites, sound clips, and I have both of them in my, first I have Anthony's sound clip. Here's his.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
And his wife, Melanie, says the most important 2 words, not only on my show, but I think in all of the English language, the best 2-word advice you could ever hear in your life.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
Have sex. Well, she said enjoy your life is making 5 words. That's... Man, you can't get better 5-word advice from anybody. I got to play that again.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
Now, another little story I got to tell about the Clydes. See, they were so impressive on my show that another more well-known syndicated talk radio host, I don't know if I should say his name or not, but his classic phrase is everything is everything. One of his producers heard that interview. And next thing I know, I get an email. They wanted to know Anthony and Melanie's information so they can invite them on his show. Because evidently they played the interview for him and he loved them, but I don't know if it worked out. But anyway, yeah, you guys were just dropping so much knowledge on my show. So I think that you still, to this day, you helping both singles and couples improve their love lives and sex lives.
Well, we thank you, Alan. We appreciate that, bro. And in actuality, that was our first radio interview that we did together as well. So you helped us to come up as well. So kudos to you, my brother.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
You helped me a lot with my confidence and working with Anthony and partnering, because Anthony has always been the forefront of our coaching and of our relationship business. And I, that year, I got more involved and I started to tell people what we were doing. And we do have sex and enjoy our life. So that's how I knew that's what we needed to do.
You do it a lot. And then, by the way, Alan, I want to say, I didn't know that you curse on your show, so when I heard you cursing, I thought, that's fucking great.
Great. Curse. Keep it real.
Enjoy your life. Curse.
Enjoy your life.
Now, you know what's funny about that? I've kind of been, I don't know, for lack of a better way of saying it, kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with that, because again, when I first started my show, it was called Balls Out Talk, and I used to be pretty raw under that format. And then this woman who worked for Blog Talk Radio said, well, Alan, if you want to get promoted on front page, you got to be, you know, basically a little more tame, a little more PG-13. So yeah. I started kind of having this ongoing joke with my listeners that I would try to present a show that was safe for Disney Channel watching listeners. But that kind of began to contradict my theme of wanting to keep all my interviews and discussions real. And,
right.
You know, and I'm not saying everybody on this earth, you know, uses profanity or erotically explicit language, but a good number of us, when we're being real, I mean really real, we tend to use those more saucy words. And but speaking of saucy words, that's why I wanted – at least half the reason why I wanted you guys on my show is, Anthony, I don't know if I'd ever seen a title of a book that was that provocative. I mean, you had balls to just have the title of your book called How to Get Over That Bitch and Grow Some Balls. I was like, boy, I'm in love with this dude already, man. He mowed one. I know I asked you an original interview, but what made you come up with that title, and even more so, what made you go with that title?
Well, when I wrote the book, I wrote it for guys that had just gotten out of bad relationships, that had their hearts broken, and they're angry, they're upset. And so when they think about the woman that broke their heart, they're not thinking, you know, that wonderful lady, they're thinking that bitch. And so I realized that I have to talk to them on their level, and I've been there, so I know what it feels like. And so everybody was going, you know what, don't give it that title, How to Get Over That Bitch and Grow Balls They Can't Resist. Don't give it that title. Nobody's going to like it. But I was like, you know what, I'm not writing the book so much to gain popularity. I'm writing the book to get my message across to guys that need it. And if I'm going to give it to them, I'm going to give it to them real, or else I'm not going to give it to them at all. Go big or go home. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to give it the title that I like. And it was actually the best thing I could have done, because what I learned from that title is that it's going to either make you laugh your ass off, or you're going to get pissed off. Either way, I get your attention. I win. Now that I got your attention, I can give you more. But if I don't catch your attention, I lose. And so that title, Women, for example, I used to sell a book out on Venice Beach. I had this big-ass sign, How to Get Over That Bitch and Grow Balls They Can't Resist. And women would come by and get pissed. They'd start yelling and arguing with me. But it was the perfect opportunity for me to introduce them to the content in the book. And once I'd introduce them to the content, then they'd love the book, and they'd buy a couple for their husbands and their boyfriends. They're like, yeah, you know what? My husband doesn't have balls either. I'm going to get him 2 copies, and my son needs balls too. And so it worked for me, man. It was keeping it real. So like you were saying about the title and even at the cussing, when people are being honest and real, you're going to curse. At least I do. And so
just expression. It's just expression. And when he first came up with the title of that book, I hid from it. I was like, I don't have nothing to do with it. I have women that I'm connected with, and they're going to think I'm a bad person. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So for years, I wasn't even co-writer or co-author on the book because women just got so volatile when they saw the title of it. But I did stand by my man, and I was like, do you, boo-boo, but I'll be back here in the background, so if they get mad at you, you handle that, okay? You handle that.
And I love the controversy anyway, so it was all good. But the thing that I think that is really cool, I don't think Melanie told you.
No, I haven't.
But they're turning the book into a movie. We sold the film rights.
What?
Yes,
we're very excited about that.
The William Morris Agency, they contacted us one day, and were like, hey, we love the book. Hook us up with your people. We want to turn it into a movie. And so the final script should be done with it actually within the next month. And so they're planning on shooting a movie within a year. It's going to be a romantic comedy, and they're going to actually keep the same title.
And the cool thing was, Ellen, the reason that they even bought the book was for the title. You know how on Amazon it'll say buy X and get Y or Z or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Amazon recommended it, and the producer that saw it said he laughed his ass off when he saw the title and was like, I had to buy it. I just had to buy it because the title was just so great. So it just goes to show you, you know, follow your heart, follow your passion, and that's what Anthony always does, and that's something that I just absolutely love about him.
Wow. Listeners, you got to give it up to him for that. Man, you got, I am, congratulations. I am so happy for you, too. That is excellent, excellent news. Now you've been, both of you guys have been doing a number of workshops and, you know, and normal coaching and, I know on at least a few of my shows, we've talked about the animosity between, number one, men and women in general, singles, and even more specifically between black men and black women. Now, you two are a couple of color, and I read your notes all the time on Facebook. And Melanie, you are funny because... You're real. You most of the time, of course, you know, she will say on Facebook how much she loves Anthony. But I want to say there's been at least a handful of times where he made you mad one particular day. And you would say that. You say, I'm mad every day, but I still love him, and I know we're going to make up and have great makeup. And see, I love that about you, so... Give some of my listeners who might be, because I got a lot of listeners, I ain't going to say a lot, but at least a good number of them that probably reached a point where they're cynical, they don't feel like they can ever repair their current relationship, or if they're single, they don't think they can get, particularly if they're a minority, either black or multicultural or Latino, what are maybe just 3 to 5 keys that you would say that has kept the sparks alive between you and Anthony's relationship?
And keep in mind, we've been together for 20 years, and on a real, Alan, we are still madly, madly, madly in love. Madly.
Very true. Very, very true. First of all, we're honest with each other. You know, Anthony is honest with me to a fault. He will tell me about myself, but his intentions are always pure, and I know that. I know that he doesn't tell me things ever to hurt me. So because I know that, he can say anything to me. I was telling someone this the other day. I asked Anthony a couple weeks ago what he loved about me to the core, and he said that he loved that I was flexible, open-minded, and easy to get along with. And he loved those things about me. And then I asked myself, and I told him, what is it that I love about Anthony to the core? And it really is that. It's that he's so honest with me. I don't have the internal conversations that a lot of women have, wondering, is he happy? Is he going to cheat on me? Does he want someone else? He's so honest. If he needs something, he'll tell me. If I'm not giving him enough blowjobs, he will say, I need more blowjobs.
Ooh, and I love that. That's what I'm talking about.
I appreciate that because I'm doing me and he's doing him, and sometimes I need him to communicate that to me. And I think sometimes when it comes to, you know, even in dating, people are not telling each other what they want. They're not honestly communicating. Everybody's playing nice and playing the games. At some point, you're going to have to get real. And he's always been real with me, and I've always been real with him. And it just bonds us like no other. We know we can trust each other like no other because we can hash through the garbage. It's not all nice and pretty all the time. It is now, after 20 years, because we've gone through all of that stuff, but we were honest about it and we didn't blame each other. We're both just trying to be happy, fulfilled people. And that is key in relationship, making yourself happy, making yourself fulfilled, and then enhancing your relationship. And Anthony wants to jump in here. Hold on. Here he is.
Yeah, my baby's exactly right. Another point that I would like to throw at couples is that, first of all, we're committed to having the happiest, most fulfilling life together possible.
Yep.
And a big part of that, it's individually, we're both responsible for our own growth. She's not responsible for my happiness. She's just the icing on a cake. But I'm responsible for my own happiness. I have to be the best me possible, and I'm committed to that. She has to be the best her possible, and she has to be committed to that. And then once we get together, with both of us being fulfilled already, then it's all gravy. It's icing on a cake. But a lot of couples, what they do is that they come into the relationship going, I ain't going to let him change me. He ain't going to change me. He ain't going to change me. He's trying to change me. And the truth is,
or
she's trying to change me. And the truth is, when you come into a relationship, you're level one, let's say, and you want to get to level 10. You want to get to the best relationship possible. How are you going to get there? It's not going to come to you. In order to go there, you got to grow there. So you got to come into the relationship expecting to change, being happy to change, and going, you know what? I can't be somebody different if I remain the same. So I'm coming into this relationship excited about my own personal growth. I know I'm going to be stretched, but I'm excited and I'm looking forward to that. I know there's going to be shit that you're going to tell me that's going to drive me off, that's going to make me climb the walls and go crazy. But that's my responsibility for me to grow and to stretch and to be the best me possible. So in order to go there, you got to grow there.
Isn't he dreamy? Oh, that was so good. I loved it. Good job, baby. That's the other thing. Encourage each other. Tell each other how much you love each other. Anthony and I walk around here telling each other we love each other 150 times a day. We're so annoying, but we're creating it constantly with each other. And then one other thing I want to add is for the single people. I know so many gurus are telling single people, like, don't say you want to get married and don't say you want to have a baby and don't say you want these things. All of the holding back what you want is really just pretending to be something that you're not. Put it out there. And if that person sitting across from you at the dinner table or at the movie theater or whatever doesn't want what you want, it's okay. Keep it moving. And I think singles get mad at the other person because they don't want what I want. But be honest about it and put it out there. And eventually you'll come across someone that wants the same thing that you want. But all this game playing and holding back and don't keep it real and don't say what you want, wait until you get the clues. Let's look for the clues. And why? Be yourself, be honest, and say what you want and put it out there. And if there's not your match, bless them and let them go on their way and keep it moving and be happy. And your guy or your girl will find you. You'll make it happen. Don't give up. Don't give up at all. It's so worth it. Right, baby?
True that.
I'm
the guy that talks about
crack me up.
All the time.
I feel like it was yesterday now when I interviewed you guys last. I remember when I first interviewed you guys. You guys, like, one would speak, and then you say, okay, go ahead, baby. And then the other one would speak and say, okay, yeah, you go ahead.
You still do that. You should see us in our workshops. We still do that. I'm going to go, hold on, babe. Okay, now you go. Because we're passionate and excited about what we're talking about. We love it, and we share it constantly. We live this stuff. I mean, we lay in bed. Well, we're laying in bed right now. We lay in bed all the time talking about
relationships.
No, we're in bed right now.
Yeah, we're in bed right now.
Yeah.
But we're always butt-ass naked. But we do our best thinking and creating when we're butt-ass naked. So,
oh, my God. I love you, too.
But is our passion, and so we both get so excited. And I heard you say earlier in the beginning of your show that you don't like to have a co-host because you don't like to share the mic. You want to, you know, you want to be the one talking. And we feel excited the same way that you do, but we are a team, and so we're passing it off to each other because we know the other one's excited. I'm looking at him sometimes, and I get to see he's like, tell him when to go. Tell me when to go.
I feel like I'm playing double dutch over here. I'm looking to jump in.
But that's what makes it fun. So.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. And, here's the kudos I give you, Melanie. I think when my show started, you know, because of my book, which has a lot of same themes as your book, about straightforward honesty and keeping it real.
Right.
But a lot of the guys, my male, you know, followers, they say, hey, man, you know, you can't really learn anything from a woman. Woman gonna say all that, you know, stuff they think they supposed to say and all that cliche bullshit. So every time I'd have a female guest, you know, they'd have kind of a wary eye. And particularly, I had this one friend named Anthony. Almost every female guest, you know, yeah, whatever, they saying all that bullshit. But when you guys were on the show, what was interesting to me is that all the males in the chat room were like, damn, man, that's a real sister right there. She breaking some shit down. Damn, she real, man. She's saying the shit that all women should be saying. So you came on my show and earned the men's respect. Because I think most of the guys knew that Anthony was going to break some stuff down, but I think they were expecting you to say some, you know, flowery type stuff. But you were dropping so much knowledge that the men and the women were taking notes.
That's great. Thanks.
What do you think moving forward in the 21st century, what are some things that you feel like people are just allowing themselves? Name one thing that let's concentrate on singles, for example. What single men, single women, what's the one thing you feel like they just get stuck on? Something that makes you two almost slap your hand and say, God, I can't believe that we're dealing with this issue with this person again. Anything in that category?
For me, one of the biggest things that I see changing in the future is monogamy. I really see there being a shift in people having monogamous relationships. I feel like men are starting to change. They're getting fed up. They're getting tired of jumping through hoops to prove to women that they're worthy. And so they're not moving towards marriage as much, and they're not being willing to be in monogamous relationships. And I think at some point women are going to shift and they're going to be more open to that. I see it in television. You know, there are a lot of television shows where one guy's in a situation where there's multiple women and he's kissing them and interacting with them in ways, and the other women are cool with it. We're starting to see those images in our society, and I think we're moving towards that. I'm not saying it'll happen overnight, but I think that part of our relationships are going to change. And I know a lot of women don't want to hear that. They hate that. They don't like it at all because they want their man to be their man, and that's a great thing. But the world is changing, and there are more women than there are men. And so, ladies, you're going to have to either bring your game up and, you know, drop all this drama that you're bringing to the men and trying to get them to prove something to you. There's nothing to prove. If you're going to be together, we're equals now. And the other thing is, I hear women say all the time, we want equality in the boardroom, but we want tradition in the bedroom and in love and dating. And that is just not happening. It's just not going to happen. I just don't see it. Men are starting to go, oh, hell no, 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 no. So that's my take on it.
Right. And I agree with Melanie, and I want to throw mine more so on at women again. And I think that women, they're so focused on benchmarking.
Yep.
On, I got to hit those benchmarks. I got to get my college degree by this age. I got to get this job by that age. Then I got to get the man by this age. And they're not really concerned about love and the big picture. They'll say it, don't get me wrong, and they'll use that to get the relationship. But once they reach that benchmark and they get that guy, then they switch up. They stop having sex. They butch up. They stop dressing up and being sexy. They put all their focus and attention on the kids. And then the man's sitting over there with his dick in his hand, unfulfilled and being ignored. And then, of course, he goes out and cheats. And so what we're trying to teach women is that get married for the right reasons. Don't get married because you're trying to beat the clock or because society told you you're supposed to be at this point by a certain age, or your mother wants you to, because it's not gonna work out.
Or you want the wedding dress.
Right. It's not gonna work out, or you're not gonna be fulfilled. If you're gonna fall in love, then fall in love and get married for the right reasons, because you want it and you want a lifetime of happiness and fulfillment. And once you get that, man, you got to step up your game. A lot of women, they get the guy and it's like, okay, I'm good now. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything else. I got him. He ain't going nowhere. But that's wrong. You got to step up your game. You got to be sexier. You got to be smarter. Keep growing. Like I said before, in order to go there, you got to grow there. So you got to keep growing. And men too, keep growing. Don't sit on the couch and get fat and end up with a gut and fall into those old patterns. Keep growing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and be honest with each other.
Yes.
Grow.
Amen.
And the way that we get down is like we want to go big or go home.
Yep.
If we want bliss. We don't want to settle for just a relationship. We want the best that life has to offer. So both people have to come into the relationship with that. But when women sit around going, you know what, why aren't men doing what I want them to do, I'm ready to get married now, they're just looking for any guy that they could put into that place to be a husband. It's not so much about the love and the intimacy.
From our perspective.
Now listen, see you hear Anthony. Now see, when he was on, when him and Melanie were on my show the first time, now I had to have a little talk with him. I said, Anthony, you know, I can't have you mincing words. I need you to be, you know, tell us how you really feel. Yeah.
No, he's the last person I needed to tell that to. But the way he's so candid, he's talking about the man sitting over there with his dick in his hand. Matter of fact, when he had my chat room cracking up, when we interviewed him back in 2008, he was talking about, of all things, you know us men, we get funny about the whole size thing. And as he was just raised, he's like, hey, not everybody got a big dick, okay? He's like, I'm paraphrasing, but he's basically like, okay, now I got a big dick. I was blessed with a big dick. But I know not everybody got a big dick. But that shouldn't stop you. You can learn how to just be the greatest at licking pussy, and you can learn how to please a woman in so many ways that doesn't involve you having to have a big dick. And I swear, all the guys in the chat room were like, man, this guy does not hold
back. And that's what's up. If you can't cut the mustard, you can always lick the jaw.
There you go.
Oh man, I got to hang out with you two. You two crack me the fuck up. I got a couple calls. Here it goes. 323-323. What's your first name? You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my special guest Anthony and Melanie Clark.
Hey, what's going on, man? I've been trying to hang out with Anthony and Melanie too, man.
That's
this is Lyle.
Like, this sounds like my twin brother. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Listen,
yeah,
in case you don't recognize the voice, this is Ryel Sims, who's also been a guest on my show, Up Front and Straightforward. And yeah, you two are both out there in LA and both well respected relationship experts. And,
We connected once. We connected once, but we haven't been able to do it again.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And we definitely need to do it again. We definitely need to look up again.
So Ryo, how was Anthony in person, man?
Oh, Anthony is a cool guy, man. He's really cool. And both of them, they both knowledgeable, as you heard, because they were spitting the knowledge, man, and they were spitting the truth, you know? And that's what it's all about. It's about being honest. You know, people just not being honest in these relationships. They get in these relationships. Women are setting each other up, you know, to get into the relationship. And like they said, then they stop doing things. They don't think that they need to look sexy anymore. You know, it's, they were spitting the truth, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you calling in. And, yes, you were.
Happy anniversary, man. Happy anniversary.
Hey, thank you, sir. And this is why I love doing my show, because I love
having people like Melanie and Anthony Clark and Ryel Sims, people who know what they're talking about. I was telling, I don't know if you guys were on the line earlier, but I was saying to my listeners that, you know, I don't talk to a lot of my guests before I interview them. A lot of times, right when the interview starts, that's for many of them, that's my first time talking to them. And sometimes I have my fingers crossed because I hope that every time I have somebody, you know, I go a lot on what I read about them, say, on their website or whatever. And I will say the vast majority of guests I've had on my show have brought it. They have brought it. But I've had a handful that ended up saying shit that I was like, okay, I just don't agree with that shit. I think that's some bullshit. And, you know, it's sad when that happens, but, I mean, a lot of times I have to keep it real. And I've called out guests. I'd be like, okay, with all due respect, that's some bullshit you just said.
There you go.
And my chat room probably as much, if not slightly more than me. They will say, if somebody get on my show, they like, ah, that person is talking some bullshit. But I can say in you three's case, when you two, Clark's on, and Ryan, when you on, everybody's like, oh, man, they breaking it down. They are breaking some shit down. So much love to you three and Ryan.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I will, you know you still got me chuckling about Say It Again with your wife. but we'll talk about that some more. But
okay,
thanks,
right.
Bro. One more.
Look up.
One more call. Area code 213-213. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guests right now, Anthony and Melanie Clark. What's your question or comment?
Hey, it's Natasha Dixon. What's going on?
Oh, this is Natasha. What's up, Natasha? What's up? Okay, well,
I love the Clarks.
I'm a hold up on you, Natasha, because I want to get you one on one in a few minutes. But now, Natasha, are you familiar with the Clarks?
No, I just, you know, they've been married 20 years, and they have dropping a lot of knowledge that a lot of singles need to hear as well. So
okay.
they run along the same vein is what I'm talking about.
Nice. Very good.
Anthony and Melanie, Natasha was on, I don't know if you were online, but I was talking about some of my past episodes, and I was talking about some of my more fiery episodes and episodes that got, you know, a little contentious. And I had a two-part series. Matter of fact, that same spring that I had you in, I think I had you guys on around like maybe mid to late March of 2008. Then I had a show in April called Examining the Angry Black Woman Syndrome, Do Sisters Have a Problem with Brothers Dating White Women? And I had, oh, man, it got fired.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a whole bunch of listeners, and then I did a part two called The Chasm Between Black Singles, and I invited a couple young ladies to discuss the challenges and issues that are kind of prevent black men. Basically what I was asking you guys about not too long ago. And anyway, Natasha was one of the two guests I had on my show that day, and she was quite the character, and she was outspoken. So, Natasha, you hold on, and I will get to you in just a little bit. But the Clarks, before I let you go, please tell my listeners what you got on the plate, what projects you got. Well, you already mentioned one, of course, and I'm really happy for you about the book being turned into a movie, but any maybe for my L.A. area listeners, a workshop you might have coming up, or just give them more about your coaching sessions you do and everything you want them to know.
Yeah, real quick, one thing I'd like to get out there is that I don't think Melanie told you this either. We're actually going to be filming a TV show in 2 weeks. And it's going to be, we're doing it with Dr. Drew. And it's a new show that he's going to be doing called Life Changers. And on that show, there's going to be a segment called The Love Lab. And on that, in the Love Lab segment, that's where we're going to be doing that segment. And so we have a TV show, so we'll be out there.
I'll post it on Facebook once we have all of the details. because, you know, networks take a while to figure out all the details, but I'll be posting it once I have all the details. Anthony and I are certified life coaches. We do life coach training. We do personal coaching. We're doing great with our coaching. Our clients are getting married. They're having babies. They're getting in the relationships that they want to be in, and we love the coaching work that we're doing. We're just having awesome success with that. We're writing our second book, titled To Be Announced. And so we just have a lot of really great things going on. We're really committed to helping people love and date the way that we do, where we keep it real, we love each other to the core, and we move past all the BS that society's taught us about relationships. It's time to really focus on the love and the connection between two people and stop being adversarial. So we need to come together. So that's what we're doing.
And our goal is to teach people to stop falling in love and to start standing in love.
Yeah, yo.
Consciously.
Whoa,
create
your own. I like that.
That's right.
Man, you got see, listeners, where else can you get a show where you get two people this attractive, this insightful, this much in love, and they butt-ass naked in the bed while they talking
that's
to
them? That's right.
Man, only on Upfront and Straightforward, Alan Roger Curry, do you get interviews like this.
That's
the
right.
The butt-ass naked. And again, just for my listeners, and this is kind of selfish to me, but Melanie, again, emphasize to the women that it's okay for their husbands and boyfriends to ask for blowjobs.
Yes. They need to ask because we get busy. So let your men tell you what they want. Don't get mad at them. That's how you grow. Something Anthony and I have been talking about really quick, I know we're going to get off, is that what you want sexually from your partner changes over time. And you have to communicate that. I got to tell you, the older he gets, the more blowjobs he wants. So, you know, the longer we're together, the more blowjobs he wants. And so,
the better they keep getting.
And
you
that's
can't
why
keep
you
it more real
I'm
than
getting
that.
Better at it. So it's really important to communicate those things to one another.
And you know what, guys? Trust me, I didn't just get lucky. There are other women out there like Melanie, but you have to be a match to that. You got to step your game up if you want a woman that's going to come with her game at this level as well. And trust me, not only just the love, I mean, everything you could imagine that you want in a woman, Melanie is that to me.
Aww,
and
you,
then to have all that nice, sweet stuff and still be able to be like, yo, baby, I need my dick sucked. And she'd be like, cool, I got you. That's hot. That's hot. You can have it. I'm telling you, you can do it.
It does exist. It's out there. Go for it.
Woo.
Alan,
man,
we
I swear
you.
To God, I love you too. And matter of fact, I'm going to be out in L.A. in mid-August, and I know you guys have a busy schedule. I'm probably going
to
have one when I'm out there. I used to work at NBC, and they're having like a little mini reunion. But but while I'm going to be out there for about 3 or 4 days, I'm going to try my best to connect with you two if it's only for an hour or two, because I just got to meet you two in
we
person.
We will come and meet you. You email me. We will come and meet you. We'll make time for you. So
we got you, boo.
We got you, boo-boo. Happy anniversary. We love you. Do you, boo-boo.
Hey, much love to you, the Clarks. Listeners, give it up for the Clarks again. You can find them at theamazingclarks.com. Theamazingclarks.com. I'm going to take a brief intermission break, and when I get back, I'm going to chit-chat with another one of my former guests. You heard her voice briefly, Miss Natasha Dixon. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Bang. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com, and remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mo One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music,
but it is music with a purpose, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
No one.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is a person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
I'm really a believer in being positive. And what I have to say is that I see great strides in women. I see women changing and growing every day. And I see them stretching themselves and tired of the way that their relationships are beginning and ending so quickly. So I see women growing and opening themselves up to experiences and perceptions that they were not open to before. But I by no means want to criticize anyone because everyone has the right to do it the way that they want to do it. The one thing I do want to say about that is, ladies and men as well, when you're in a relationship, just remember, it's not your job to look at the other person and say, I want you to do what I want you to do, what I want you to do just so that I can be happy. Relationship is really about looking at the other person and going, I want to be the best me possible, and I want to fit that with you being the best you possible, and let's grow it together and be the most extraordinary human beings possible. And let's spread that positive love to our children and grow them into extraordinary human beings. So I have no criticism for anyone. Everyone is doing it the best that they can with the information that they have, with what they know. And my job and my husband's job is to give them more information and new perspectives about how the world is changing and how relationships are changing and how we can all get along better and have more love and peace on this planet.
Damn, you're good.
Wow!
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, people, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Yeah. Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
True, true, true.
Yeah, yeah. I never knew a love like this. Gotta be something for me to write this. Queen, I ain't seen you in a minute.
Maybe it's the jerks who are more honest and the women see that. Whereas the nice guys, they put on this phony false front. And that's why the women keep testing them to say, when is your true self going to come out? When are you going to stop sugarcoating things? When are you going to start telling me like it is? I want to see the real you. You see, women are the best investors in the world. They are know how to invest in a relationship. They can. The number one thing, I used to be a stockbroker, and the number one thing an investor looks for is what's the downside risk? How bad is it going to be? The jerk shows you up front how bad it's going to be. Therefore, it can only get better. Whereas with the nice guy, you don't know how bad it's going to be.
You know, you asked me who's responsible earlier on for things not working on online dating sites. I also think it's the individuals. I think, you know, you have to tell the truth, I have to tell the truth. You have to be realistic, I have to be realistic.
It's important we communicate, and soon the fate of this union to the right pitch. I never call you my to even my boo. There's so much in the name, and so much more in you.
Well, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. They want to be respected. They want to be appreciated. And so that's usually at the root of everything that everybody does. They want to be loved, appreciated, respected. And so if you grow up in a culture, in a family, in a relationship in which you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're from, you don't know why you are on the planet, you don't have a group of people around you to affirm these things, then you're going to be lost in this world in which most of the things that go on in this American culture are about profit. So you are prey now to all those people sending messages that are trying to make profit, and you're lost, and you're just trying to get some love, some respect, and some appreciation. So people will do funny things trying to get those things, and they may not end up receiving those things. They may end up receiving abuse, but I think that's basically what everybody is seeking.
Justin B. Sasha rhymes to at times when I'm lost, I try to find you. You know to give me space when it's time to. My heart's dictionary defines you. It's love and happiness.
As women cross 40 years old, the demand for them goes down considerably. And so there's a lot of unrealistic expectations online. And that's the thing that men struggle with, is that average men think that they deserve above average women. So your average guy is a 5 and he wants to date an 8. And that's not really happening as much as you might think.
We were created to couple up, and I don't care who you are, how successful you think you have it, or how happy of a life you think you would have without a companion, we were created with a longing to couple with someone else.
I can't deal with attitude.
Where do you think, Dion, that attitude comes from? Just meeting the challenges of adversity in their life, or what?
Man, clean, they don't know what adversity is, man. I'm saying, man, that stuff they call adversity ain't nothing but a drop in the bucket compared to what black women back in the day had to go through. You know, they got it good, man. You know, they came in the era after hot combs, you know. So when they, you know, they had to live before then, man, you wouldn't stand a chance, you know. But somewhere over the last couple of decades, man, you know,
The only way a black woman can, you know, get someone interested in them is because they're locked up in a room with the lights out, you know. But so it's just really out of really wanting to expose black women and just getting them to open up their minds, and then also to let brothers know, you know, this is a new day, you know, and you just can't take, you know, us for granted anymore, you know, that black women are starting to, you know, step over the color line.
And I want to ask you, do you think one of the problems today between particularly black men and black women is that there is too much blatant disrespect for one another? I know that's almost a rhetorical question, but why do you think more brothers and sisters don't give each other that higher degree of respect?
Well, it's because we're out of touch with our real culture. We're following someone else's culture. And, you know, really in our home culture and African culture, even though there's so much going on even with our brothers and sisters back home, I mean, one thing that is consistent is the way that we address each other. We address each other with endearing terms and empowering terms. And I think part of it is when you feel a sense of self-love, then you just transfer that over to your brother, your sister. So it all starts with how you feel about yourself.
We make a move and act a fool while we up in the club. This is how we do. Nobody do it like we do it, so show us your love.
I'm just going to say, are they considering the foreplay component of that, or is that just a performance time?
I think that's just, you know, the entree. That's not the appetizer portion. So.
I don't know about that. I mean, listen, I think you got to give a brother a helping hand here.
One switch, man, that ass so low. Cali got niggas in New York riding on how to scroll. Touch me, tease me, kiss me, please me. I give it to you just how you like it, girl.
Michelle, I'm going to throw this comment to my partner, the frat brother, who is a diehard supporter of Sisters, who always says, for every black woman who makes a comment about you know, basically moving away from brothers because of the things that you're saying, he always says, have you dated every black man in America? Until you can say that, you can't turn your back on our brothers, because if you do, who else is going to stand by our side?
Oh, honey, I will never turn my back to a black man. Trust and believe, but I am just telling you what my friends and people close to me are telling me. They're like, honey, give it up because you are just too good. And I'm like, nope. I will not. I will stand proud next to my black man and say, I got your back. And even when you run away from me and you go and you deal with all these other broads, I bet you, you will come back home to me.
I think that a lot of women are looking for validation, and that's why they're throwing the poo nanny out there. You throw that poo nanny out there.
Hey,
you
use my term, Natasha. I'm known for saying poo nanny, because that's what I say on my PG-13 show, poo nanny.
I'm trying to keep it Disney.
That's right, because I got a lot of Disney Channel watching people listening to my show. You know, I've never really looked at myself, to be honest, as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But definitely, yeah, when it comes to sex, in many ways, I've definitely been that guy.
Because
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated. He's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
Now, two shout-outs in particular I want to give, that I always give at the beginning of my show, is that have supported my show pretty much from the start. One is my older brother and my ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, I remember when I first started doing the show, he would give me little notes and feedback on what I was doing right, what I was doing wrong, what I can improve on. So I appreciate his assistant. And then our good friend and my brother's best man in his wedding is Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP 3. He's rarely, if ever, in my chat room, but he's always in my phone queue. He's listened to probably, I want to say, no less than 90 to 95% of my episodes over the last 3.5 to 4 years. And we grew up together, known each other since junior high school. And he's always been an enthusiastic listener. Matter of fact, since he's in the phone queue right now, I'm going to get one or two quick comments from him. EVP3, how's it rolling in Seattle?
Oh, man, it's rolling. It's rolling quite well. I'm just enjoying this Dallas, post-Dallas win.
I had checked while I was doing the show. I had checked, and Miami was up by, like, I want to say, like 10 or 15 points. The next thing I know, I see where Dallas, how did Dallas come back?
Well, let me tell you definitely how they came back. Number one, Dirk started to come on, but more than that, Seattle's own Jason Terry, the Jet, known as the Jet, started going off. He went off, and it really helped bring them and bridge that gap, that point gap, and bring them back in the game, get them back in the game. And then Dirk put it to him at 93-93. He drove the lane instead of taking an outside shot, and he put him up by 2 points with just over 3 seconds left, and then Wade threw up a just over half-court Hail Mary. Didn't go in. Came close, but didn't go in.
Wow, that's a heck. Now, I know they've made a lot of comebacks, you know, throughout the playoffs. I know they had a couple comebacks against the Lakers, and I think they had one or two other comebacks. But, man, that is an impressive win on their part.
Miami, I want to quickly take anything from them. The other thing was is that I think they started celebrating with the big lead most through the game a little bit. Not celebrating, you know, but feeling themselves, I'll call it, a little bit. I think they got a little tinge of, you know, overconfidence as I was watching it while I was listening to your show pretty closely. And I think that played a little part in it. And then, you know, Dallas got some key stops down the stretch, too. So they play really well, so.
Wow. Okay. Well, congratulations to the Dallas Mavericks for winning games. Well, I know now that means it's going to be a series. That means it's going to be a real series. So, hey, if you're an NBA fan, you know I always mention the NBA games on my show. So, I'm happy for them. Now, EVP, I want to ask you, What are maybe one, two, maybe as many as three episodes, either over the last 3.5 years or so, and more specifically over the last 11, 12 months, that really stick in your memory? Well, I can almost predict maybe one show in the last few months, because you were a significant contributor to the show. But what are a couple episodes that really, you know, said these are memorable episodes for EVP3?
Oh, wow. That's actually a very tough question, which compliments and seriously cruel to you, because over these 4 years, there's been quite a few. There's quite a few I've been listening to, like you said, almost about, well, a good 95% of them like I have. Yeah, there's a lot. I was actually going through this on a question on my mind and just kind of struggling with it when I was listening to the show earlier. But definitely, I would point to all of the David X shows, but I think sentimental reasons, I'm going to point to the first one with David X, first one ever. I think David's been on, what, at least four times, maybe five now?
He's been on five times total, yep.
Five times. Yeah, definitely the first one, because of the first time with David X, and you and him are so closely, you know, aligned in terms of how your takes and your approaches to things. So that was really paramount, I thought. Get the bad one out of the way. Yeah, just a couple of months ago with, as I already mentioned in the earlier part of your show, with Sophia, that one, unfortunately, I would have to say on the controversial, more towards the negative contentious, as you, the word you use, shows that you not having very many of those that I could think of over time. Actually, you mentioned a couple other ones, interesting enough, in the first segment of your show, and I smiled because it's like, you know, this catalog in my mind, all these shows, like, I remember that, I remember that, I remember that being said, I remember all those things happening. So, yeah, that one would definitely, because of, I actually thought, though, it went with the show that we're talking about a couple of months ago, with, that you already mentioned, Sophia again, Sophia A. Nelson, I believe her name is, but at any rate, it actually was a good show if you look at how where you took it and how we talked after she left the show with Jason.
Yeah, matter of fact,
myself and everybody. I thought it really, I think, you know, show wise, it actually, it still came together as a show of yours, but it was unique, and it was just different in that way. And it wasn't really about her and the host. So,
listeners, in case you didn't hear that, the archive podcast of that show, my guess, and I don't want to get into any more, you know, war words with her. I mean, you know, she is who she is. I am who I am. But, yeah, we didn't have the greatest interview, Sophia A. Nelson. And so I ended up interviewing her for about, I want to say, about maybe 50% of the show. And then after she left, I ended up having kind of this impromptu, and EVP can appreciate the word impromptu, because one of his classic lines is living on the edge of impromptu. And I had an impromptu kind of male panel. I had about four or five guys on the line, and we just started having kind of a rap session, mainly about some of her comments and her behavior on the show. And then we just generally started talking about the state of kind of male-female relationships and black male-black-female relationships. And so it was real cool. Matter of fact, some people ended up telling me they enjoyed that portion of the show more than they did the actual interview with Ms. Nelson. So you never know what you're going to get with Upfront and Straightforward.
I thought that was really cool. And so then the other one I would talk about was the one with Nina Hartley. I thought that was a good one, and if I'm not mistaken, she was the first guest, towards the first guest that you had along those lines, or maybe second guest in terms of the adult film industry.
She was the first guest I had from the adult film industry. Yep.
So Yeah, I'll see that one, and certainly the ones with Hill or Mel Harper were certainly some classic ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Too many to single out, but those are some.
Yeah, I know you've listened to, like I told the audience, you've probably listened to, I'd say over the last 3.5-4 years, you've had to have listened to at least 90% to 95% of the episodes, so I'm sure it would be hard for you to identify ones that stand out because you've heard so many. But I just want to say I appreciate your support, brother. I appreciate the feedback you've given me on a lot of the shows and the guests and the encouragement. And it's been great, and I've enjoyed a lot of these interviews, and it always relaxes me when I see your number in the phone queue, knowing that you're listening. And of course, you know, see, listeners, they can't see this, but even my man EVP, he even write me certain text messages during certain interviews, man. It just was cracking me up. He'll say stuff that I'll be like, oh man, he gonna have me laughing on the air. But anyway, man, much love to you, brother, and I will continue to keep on bringing some more shows that will keep you entertained and enlightened. And also, I want to give a shout out to EVP's younger brother, Phil Poole. He's been in my chat room a few times. He doesn't get to listen as much as EVP3, but he listens a lot. And I see my man Jason 69 Barnes. What's up, brother?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Now listen to this, man. I gotta tell you, this brother on the line here, he just cannot call into my show and be a basic conventional brother. He cannot just call in and say, well, you know, basically, I feel like men just need to treat women better, and I think they need to. I mean, if I want somebody to start a fight, then 6ix9ine Barnes will call on my show and say, listen, I want your guests to suck my dick and lick my ass.
Well, no, just one of your guests so far, and that was Sophia A. Nelson. She can still suck my dick. You know, I don't care how many other shows she goes on and everything. That bitch is a fake, a phony, and somebody just needs to sit over there and tell her to sit in the corner and shut the fuck up. But that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, the first time, now to give you the history, the first time I recall him calling to my show.
Oh, God, you're going to bring this back up.
Yeah, I ain't going to go into too much detail. I'm going to let the listeners just hear this. As you know, listeners, all my archive podcasts are on my page, so they go all the way back to, I want to say, the very first show of Upfront Straightforward. You can't find my old episodes of Balls Out Talk. I think they took those off. But they got all the shows that are under the title Upfront and Straightforward, beginning with Tim Alexander, who actually Jason knows. He was my first guest in late June of 2007. But anyway, look for a show in summer of 2009. It was actually considered an open discussion forum. And the main discussion was about two rules: Steve Harvey's 90-day rule, and then there's this unwritten rule that a lot of men live by called the three-date rule, basically that a woman should give up the pussy by no later than the third date, otherwise you dump her. And so I had a guest, he's a radio host himself, I think in Pittsburgh, by the name of Albert Butler. And I was asking him questions about both of those rules. And not to disparage Albert in any kind of way. You know, he's a generally cool brother.
Well, you don't have to. That brother was soft.
But he was trying to be kind of diplomatic. He wasn't being real. And I talked about at the beginning of the show tonight earlier, I was saying one of my objectives, and I may not meet the standard with every episode, but I always strive to have the most real conversations that my listeners can hear. And basically, in a nutshell, he wasn't keeping it real. He wasn't
right,
particularly
right.
More specifically, when I was asking questions about men just hooking up with women just because they want to fuck them, not because they want to, you know, have them as their next girlfriend or their future wife, but just because they want to fuck them, he wasn't bringing the thunder. And anyway, 6ix9ine called in and just essentially told him that he was being full of shit. And I was like, whoa. And this is when I didn't even know who 6ix9ine was. He just called
on,
in
Alan.
And essentially told my guest that he was being full of shit. And he ended up endearing himself to a good majority of my chat room listeners to the point that I felt bad because about two or three more women called in, and I'm thinking they're going to ask Albert a question. They're like, no, I don't really want to talk to Albert. I want to talk to 6ix9ine. And I was like, oh, snap. This
book. Well, Alan, you know, what I wanted to say, you know, considering this is your fourth anniversary, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you.
First off. And second off, I want to thank you because a lot of people don't know this, but you were the catalyst for me starting my own Blog Talk Radio show. And, you know, all the success that I've had subsequently, even though I moved away from radio and broadcast and came out to Hollywood and I've been doing the acting and producing and all that stuff, it was the conversations with you and you taking the time to mentor me and give me, you know, some of the knowledge that you've garnered over the years in the entertainment industry. So, really, you're one of my mentors. I look up to you and thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Well, see, first I tease his brother for stirring the pot on my show. Now he's just going to call my show and try to get a brother choked up and stuff, man.
That's
much appreciated, brother. That's much appreciated.
All right, now, regarding, Albert and his take on women and everything, he was being full of shit. You know, I'm like this. Tell a woman, look, if you just meet her and her lips are looking good, tell her to suck your dick and, you know, just deal with whatever she says after that, you know. But other than that, you know, I've called in and listened to your shows, and most of the time your guests will keep it real and they're very upfront and straightforward. But, you know, Albert, that time, he kind of irritated me a little bit. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to attack the brother, but I'm going to attack the principal. So.
Well, you know, and that's interesting, and I have to tell my listeners that for those that don't know, again, I mentioned at the early part of the show, one of the things that, of course, provoked me starting this radio show is because I do have a book out there called Mo 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking, and it encourages men, particularly single men, to express their romantic and or sexual desires, interests, and intentions to women in a very highly self-assured, upfront, unapologetic, and straightforwardly honest manner. And I have to say, one of my pet peeves, which relates to that show and how things went down, is, and this is, I would criticize members of both genders when it comes to this, I don't like people who are full of shit when it comes to their interest in casual sex. I mean, that's why I think that's one reason why I respect a lot of people in the adult film industry and why I've interviewed, because
Come on, Alan. You know, if they offered you some chicken wings and peach snapple, you'd be making a porno right now.
I actually, that's why I had Nina Hartley on my show, because when I had her on my show, I actually talked about how she knows, because when I lived in L.A., she actually had a workshop called How to Break Into the Porn. Now, I have to clarify, I never was trying to get into the porn industry as a performer. So I will say that. I was never, but I wanted to be, of all things, and this might make some people laugh for this industry, because most people don't consider porno movies as even having a plot. But
oh,
I was
Lord,
actually supposed to
be
a screenwriter in the adult film industry. Because I used to write, I don't even know if you know this, 6ix9ine, but I used to, when I lived in L.A., one of my kind of part-time moonlighting jobs was, I used to write erotic fantasies for women. At one point, I had about at least 20 to 25 female clients that I would write. They would pay me anywhere from not much, maybe $20 to $40. They would give me a premise. I would flesh out the details. And, yeah, that was kind of like my secondary job for a while when I lived in L.A. So, anyway, I had this group of women. They said, Alan.
It fit into their erotic conversationalist.
There you go. And it's funny, I asked the women at the time, they said, Alan, you ought to think about writing pornos and directing pornos.
Right.
So, yeah, for a moment I was trying to get in. But anyway, my point was, I kind of went on a segue. I was going to say that I respect people in the adult film industry because they're not hypocritical. They like to fuck. They fuck on camera. They are who they are. They're not duplicitous. And you got to, whether you agree with their lifestyle or not, you got to respect the fact that they're open and honest about it. But I don't like men who try to act like they're only into relationship sex when they know they like to fuck casually. And I don't like women who try to act like they're only into relationship sex when they know they like to fuck casually. If you like to fuck casually, keep it real.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, it's part of our society and everything. Men dangle relationships in front of women in order to get sex, and women dangle sex in order to get relationships. And it's a whole big game. And you realize how much of a game it is once you step out of it. And it's just like, I don't care what you think. You know, either you're going to fuck me or you're not. You know, I don't have to play all these games and everything. Women make up their minds whether or not they're going to sleep with the man within the first 5 minutes of meeting them. The man's job at that point is just not to say anything stupid or offensive from the time that the woman makes up her mind that you have a shot to the time you have her with her legs on your shoulders calling you everything but a child of God.
Now, see, 6ix9ine, I'm going to have you repeat that. What time frame did you say most women make up their minds if they're going to sleep with a guy?
Well, within the first 5 minutes.
See, I've told so many guys that. And I have guys on various message boards. They say, oh, hell, you don't know what you're talking about, man. You need to get to know a woman over, like, a period of, like, maybe, like, 2 or 3 weeks. I'm like, that's bullshit. That is
no,
bullshit.
No, those are the guys that have no game that they're, like, they immediately get put in the friend zone, and then they're trying to work their way into maybe getting some ass when they catch her on the right day. So
yep.
Those guys will argue with you. Now, guys, you know, women will make the decision immediately. Now, men, we're different. We don't decide what category we want to put a woman into until after we sleep with them, whether or not she's, you know, okay, that's my jump off, that's my booty call, that's wifey material, that's my main girl, you know, my home girl, we just going to be friends. That all occurs for us after we sleep with them. Women will build this whole fantasy around what they can do with you within the first 5 minutes of talking to you.
I can't 100% agree with you on that second point. At least not with me, because I know with a lot of women, when I first meet them, now, there's women I've changed. Like, there's some women I met that I thought it would be strictly casual, and then I said, okay, I want to spend more time with them. It might become more serious, but there's a lot of women I met that I knew before I even fucked them that, okay, I just want to fuck her for the next 2 weeks, or I just want to fuck her for the next 3 months, or whatever.
Well, you're just a special breed, Alan Reisberg.
Matter of fact,
look at it this way. When you first approach a woman, it's not about getting to know them and a lifelong commitment and everything. And I think that goes across the board for every man. When you first approach a woman, it's about getting your dick wet. And then after that, we decide how we're going to keep them in our life beyond the end of our dick.
Yeah, well, I do say that in my book. I say that, and of course, there's exceptions, and women always like to bring up the exceptions.
Of course.
But there's there's exceptions. But generally speaking, as 6ix9ine just said, most of us, first thing we're thinking about when we meet women is fucking. It's plain and simple. Is she going to be a good fuck? You thinking about what positions you're going to fuck her in? Does she suck dick? How good she going to suck dick? Et cetera. And as 6ix9ine said and alluded to, it's like some stuff doesn't come up until afterwards. Like you might meet a woman, you guys fuck, and then you find out she cooks great chicken wings, and you say, shit, I want to keep her around.
Oh, Lord, there you go with the chicken. Why every conversation you got to go back to chicken wings with you, man?
I got to tell my listeners, now, for those who might be listening for the first or only second time or whatever, that's my running thing for the last 3 years. My listeners have come to know that I have a lifelong love of two things. Maybe not lifelong, because both of these things haven't been around all my life. But chicken wings, I want to say, were first made popular around the late 80s. And I've been in love with them since. That's my favorite part of the chicken. I mean, I love chicken in general. but specifically,
well,
I love chicken.
You are a Negro. Okay, there we go. We got that covered.
Yeah, I love you. And then my other thing that I always kind of couple with chicken wings, I love peach schnapple. I love this drink called peach schnapple. And those two things together, I'm in heaven when I got them two things together, is chicken
wings
and peach
schnapple. Well, Alan, I wanted to ask you something, man. What does the future hold for Upfront and Straightforward? What direction are you planning on taking your show, your career? What can us as your fans and listeners expect in the upcoming months and years as you move forward?
Well, ideally, and of course I don't have any, you know, I can't say I have any specific actions in the work, but everything starts with the initial desire. But I would love to take my show to a TV format. And I put this on my Facebook page probably about 3, 4, maybe 5 weeks ago. Because a friend of mine was saying, I had a female friend, she said, Alan, she's a big fan of, what is that called? HBO's, is it Real Talk with Bill Maher?
Yeah.
What's the name of that show? Is that the name of the show? Is it Real Talk with
Something
Bill Maher?
Something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, this particular female friend was saying, Alan, you should, what his show is to politics, you should have a show like that on cable that is to dating relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be, if I would say I have an ultimate goal for Upfront Straightforward, is, yeah, it would be to move from the radio format and move to a television format, particularly cable. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I personally would rather, I want to see more of those controversial shows where you get up in people's asses like you did with that heifer who wrote the book that, you know, I don't think anybody should read.
Next
then
time, Six Nine, tell
us
how
you're like,
doing.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, you know, like, it's Sophia Nelson, but I'm just like one of your other listeners who, you know, says she wouldn't wipe her dog's ass with the book, you know, because old girl's blowing smoke like there's none other. But that was one of my favorite, personal favorite shows, not just because I was on the show, but it was, you know, she called and she was full of it and got handed her ass to her, and she basically folded up like a deck. Well, she actually displayed every symptom of angry black woman syndrome and, you know, imploded.
Yeah, that was yeah, listeners, if you haven't heard that episode, you got to go back and hear that episode because, I was just saying earlier that probably at least two-thirds, three-fourths of my guests that I interview, I don't, like some hosts, they have like kind of a pre-interview screening process where they'll talk to people, whether it be in person or the phone, and they'll kind of get a feel for that guest before the interview. And there's some guests I have had that I know them personally or we met, but the vast majority of my guests, I don't really know how they're going to be until I start talking to them on the show. And she was a young lady that I have to say I had high hopes. I thought it was going to be a great interview. I kind of thought she was going to be the female equivalent to Hill Harper. And I don't want to rehash the whole show, but listeners know, and 6ix9ine knows, the first thing to get off track, she took swipes at my book. And on my show, that's the biggest no-no in the world. I mean,
she's a wannabe author, a wannabe a failed lawyer. You know, she needs to stay on CNN talking to the white folks that are scared of her and just keep it moving. But that's just me. You know, I could be wrong. It's happened twice. I'm like, you know, twice a day I might be wrong. Twice a day I'm like a broken clock. I might be right twice a day. Yeah, that's it.
You know, you make me think of, what's his name? Charles Barkley actually has a book. I think it's titled, I Might Be Wrong, But I Doubt It.
yeah, well, you know, it's been known to happen to other people. It just hasn't happened to me yet. But No, man, you're doing a great thing. You have a voice, and, you know, I love you from the bottom of my heart. Pause. You know, and I appreciate you, brother, and keep doing it, man. And, you know, you reached out to me and helped me get my start in the entertainment industry. And like I alluded to before and I said before, you know, I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, and I look forward to many great things and wish you nothing but the best, brother.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, brother. And, yeah, matter of fact, I'm going to get to meet, see, listen, I don't know, I haven't met 6ix9ine in person yet, but I'm actually headed back to my stomping grounds, as I mentioned when the Clarks won the show earlier, in mid-August. So I'll be connecting with 6ix9ine, but I already told him that any picture we take, they're going to have to do what they did for Al Michaels on Monday Night Football. They would all, when he was on there with John Madden, they would put boxes underneath him so he would look like he was close to the same height. And that's what I'm going to do for any picture.
When you come out, I'm going to be filming my very own first production that I've written and produced and everything. So, you know, I might get you up in the movie when you get out here, because we're slated to start in mid-August. So maybe your fans will be able to get to see you on the big screen.
Oh, shoot, then see, I'm going to have to lay off the chicken wings and peach now, boy. I got to.
Yeah, you better get in the gym, bro. You have to lay off of them, because I can't let go of my beer. As everybody knows, you know, I'm famous for swigging a beer while I'm on the radio and doing an interview, whatever I'm doing, you know, writing. You know, me and my beer, I got to have it. So you can still do your chicken wings, just make sure you balance it with some activity in the gym. I'm about to get back up in there, too.
I hear you. Well, all right, brother, man. Well, thank you for calling in. And,
I appreciate you again, man.
And helping me celebrate 4 years. And listeners, again, it's been four years. I'm going to I wanted to talk to a young lady named Natasha Dixon, but she was not able to rejoin me. Before the show got cut off, I was going to talk to her, but she was not able to rejoin me. So maybe I'll get to talk to her another time in the near future. But for now, I just want to say thanks to all my listeners, whether you're a regular or semi-regular chat room listener, or someone who listens just through your computer or through your phone, or any way you listen to my show. Some people don't actually even listen to my show live. They listen to it as an archive podcast. But I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your support, your encouragement, and I will continue to try to bring you the best interviews, best discussions, best topics that I possibly can. And on that note, please have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will see you next week with a gentleman named Don Suave. He wrote a book called The Direct Playboy. That's next Thursday. Take care.